This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Richard Abulafia, well-known aviation analyst. Richard, it has been quite a year. Just how bad was it out there?
It was pretty grim, particularly if you were the bottom half of the business aircraft market, particularly the bottom half of the business jet market. That dropped off in terms of deliveries by almost half. I've never seen anything like that. Strangely, the top half of the business jet market held up reasonably well, but I don't think there's any illusions that there's not further pain coming. As for jetliners, they continue to defy gravity. They're the only sector of the entire world economy that is defying gravity, and I'm very concerned about that. But on the other hand, there's just this slim chance that maybe we'll get through this with strangely record production rates.
Why did the top half of the business jets do okay?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, they're a little bit less exposed to the developed markets. The top half were looking more towards emerging markets in Middle East, Latin America, and Asia, and those have held up just a bit better. Next is probably the unfortunate prospect that it's simply longer lead times. In other words, you had more stuff that was already in one stage of completion or another because of the additional requirements for customization. In other words, if you believe that to be true, then you'll see pain coming. It's just going to take longer to kick in. And then finally, and this is the most hopeful, it could be that people at the top half are less reliant upon third-party finance. And that, of course, is where you had a very serious crunch. If you were looking for people to give you an 80% or a 90% loan for a business jet, you were probably waiting a very long time.
Well, is the top half maybe a little bit more impervious to the political issues surrounding business aircraft, too?
That's a good point. It's absolutely likely that there is an element of lower elasticity of demand at the top half, that you're more likely to get corporations and very wealthy individuals that have weathered the economic storm and the political storm better than the customers at the bottom half.
A lot has been made about the Big Three's trip to Washington. How big of an impact do you think it had on business jets?
I don't think it helped. I mean, you look back at the history of this market, and there's always been people saying, oh, the cultural shift is really hurting us. And there might be an element of that. It hasn't been a long-term shift. The most dire predictions of a cultural shift away from business jets were just before the greatest boom years in the history of the market, 2003, 2008. But nevertheless, it helped send a chill. It's tough to tell how much of that was simply poisonous icing on a terrible cake, and how much of it was really something that made things worse directly. I tend to think it was simply something that left a bad taste rather than something that was a direct cause of the market's downturn.
Okay, well, by all accounts, we have another rough year ahead in the business jet sector anyway.
You look at all the leading economic indicators, and we're nowhere near recovery. We're seeing stabilization, and that's great. You want stabilization. But we're nowhere near a recovery, and we're certainly not anywhere near resumed growth. So I think, unfortunately, you're going to see another down year, and frankly, I don't have great hopes for 2011 either. Maybe 2012, you'll start to see some kind of respectable growth. On the other hand, that dire feeling that we're in free fall and the world is coming to an end and companies might go out of business, that, thankfully, I think we can say good riddance to and just consign to the worst part of the crisis in 2009.
Okay, well, I can't talk to Richard Abulafia without talking about his favorite airplane company, Eclipse. Different airplane company now. They have 28 jets up for sale this year. Would you buy one?
My grand plans of starting a museum, as you know, are sort of held in abeyance because of the crisis also. No. Now, if I were mad enough to actually be thinking of flying one, certainly not. No. These are orphan planes, and of course, orphan planes are notoriously difficult to look after.
So you don't think that Eclipse Aerospace has a chance to make a go of it and make a viable product out of the Eclipse 500?
Well, it would be good if something could be salvageable from this horrible experience, but you look at the amount of money they're playing with, it's tiny in the broader scheme of things. And, you know, most of all, of course, it's a lot of this simply isn't their decision. When, you know, the very premise of Eclipse production was 95% of the work would be done by other companies. So the question is, will they keep supporting everything from brake pads to avionics to whatever? And I, you know, I just couldn't guarantee that. And again, looking at the amount of money that Eclipse Aerospace is capitalized with, absolutely no guarantees. Still, it would be good if something could be salvaged from this experience. I just wouldn't bank on it.
Well, always a pleasure, Richard. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.